The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
The Nicole Sandler Show. Questioning authority daily. And that could be the very reason why YouTube is upset. Hey, YouTube. The music bed you hear beneath my voice is from a broadcast sound library that I paid for and have the receipts. So I've got your copyright violation right here. And now, here's Nicole.
All right. Welcome to a Thursday. We love Thursdays around here because Thursdays are Howie Klein days. And it's an extra special Howie Klein day because today's his birthday. So we'll celebrate with Howie at the bottom of the hour. As usual, we got a lot of territory to cover. Before then, most notably last night's debate. Wow. What a change of pace, huh? Boy, you put a Republican in every aspect except, you know, his actual voter registration into the Democratic debate, and a billionaire to boot, and turn Elizabeth Warren loose on him, and you have an entertaining debate. I thought Elizabeth Warren rocked it last night. I thought Bernie was great, and the rest of them were there. We'll get into all of that. I need to begin today, and we do have a funny coming up, but before I even get to that, I need to address something I said yesterday. And as tenuous as I am, as suspect as I am about the corporate media and their bias against Bernie Sanders, I let myself get taken in by them. Now, but I got to say, I do, in a sense, blame Bernie, because I watched him on CNN the night before last when Anderson Cooper asked him the question, we got these, you know, three doctor's letters, and now you're not going to release anything else of any other medical records? And he said, no, well, we're done. After Bernie's heart attack, he did say he would be releasing his complete medical records. So I bought in to the attacks on him that he hasn't done that, until I read something by Dr. Sanjay Gupta yesterday, where he said the three pieces of information, the three, and they shouldn't be called letters, the three reports that Bernie Sanders released tell the whole story. Sanjay Gupta said he's more than satisfied that he has all the information he needs in order to say that, yes, I believe that Bernie Sanders has been cleared by all the pertinent doctors to continue with this campaign and to serve should he be elected as president. What he released was three things. And again, I don't want to call them letters, because when you say a letter from a doctor, what that conjures up is the image of the bullshit letter that Trump released that he dictated to his really creepy doctor, you know, the long-haired guy from Manhattan whose name I can't remember, and this is not really important. But that's what that conjures. Of course, Bernie Sanders is a real, you know, person who understands the rules and the norms of running the country and actually what a legitimate doctor report looks like. So the three things that he released, one was two were from cardiologists, one from the treating cardiologist, one from the rehab cardiologist, who both talked about the heart attack, the stent procedure, and what his condition is now. And then the third was a detailed medical history from the chief doctor at Congress, who has been Bernie Sanders' personal physician for 29 years. And the facts that were released in this information had everything from his blood pressure and cholesterol and on and on and on, and everything you need to know. And I'll tell you this, at 78 years old, Bernie Sanders is a hell of a lot more healthy than I am. His blood pressure, 102 over 56? Seriously? I'd kill for it. Well, I wouldn't kill for that, but I'm nowhere near that. He's in perfect health. He's in the 20th percentile, BMI of 23.6. At 6 foot, he's 174 pounds. He's leaner than most in his cohort, it says, without being in danger of being underweight. It talks about his, pulse is 62 beats per minute, which is pretty damn good. It talks about his blood count, vitamin D level, thyroid function panel. Everything was normal. His fasting glucose was 84 milligrams. Total cholesterol. His cholesterol was perfect. Again, I would kill to change. And I just had a physical. I just had a complete blood count done. And I'd trade with him any day of the week because he runs circles around me health-wise. So I take it back. I was wrong yesterday. I think Bernie Sanders has complied. The problem is how he responded to Anderson Cooper. And I wish he would have been a little more clear. But see, I'm not afraid to say I screwed up when I screwed up. And I did yesterday in calling Bernie Sanders out. I think he has released all the information he needs to release. And aside from that, what they should do going forward is come out with a standardized form for a physical for any candidate for the presidency, that it should be part of the standard package that they release, including their tax returns, something that Michael Bloomberg still has not done. All right. We got a lot of territory to cover before we get to Howie. We have, of course, the news of the day. Roger Stone has been sentenced. We'll get to all that. We've got last night's debate to cover. And so before we get to any of that, let's start with a giggle. That would be giggle without me swallowing the word. It's from our friend Lauren Mayer, Lauren's Comedy on, on Twitter. Find her, Lauren Mayer, M-A-Y-E-R, like John Mayer. Find her on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and of course here on the Nicole Sandler Show, where we have a special surprise, I hope, coming up this Tuesday from Lauren Mayer. But in the meantime, here's something to get us started on this Thursday.
The impeachment trial is over and gone, but its impact on history lingers on. Trump keeps acting more unhinged as his abuse of power goes unimpinged. So the concern that they're expressing is such an inadequate response. Oh yeah, he learned his lesson. He can do whatever the hell he wants. Moderate Republicans act concerned, insisting they believe Trump's finally learned. But all they've taught this would-be king is that they'll let him get away with anything. Now Trump thinks they're acquiescing to actions that can't be defended. Oh yeah, he learned his lesson, but it isn't the one that they intended. Instead of an attempt to heal the nation, Trump's hell-bent on retaliation.
Yeah, thank.
To military heroes, insults and slurs, witches rich from cadet bone spurs. Now that Trump has the GOP's blessing, democracy's prospects look dim. Oh yeah, he learned his lesson. Nothing in the law applies to him. The GOP's complicity needs addressing. Here's what we have to do. Let's teach the GOP a lesson in November when we turn the Senate blue.
Hell yeah. Lauren Mayer. Let's do all this. All right, the one and only Lauren Mayer, everyone. She's just great. Yes. Find her again on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Lauren Mayer, her comedy. She does a new song every week. We'll probably get a new one tomorrow. All right. Now that that sort of warmed us up, I guess what we should do is just first start with the news, because there's a lot of that going on, and we'll do it live. I'll do it live. Okay.
Today, oh boy.
We'll do it live.
Yeah.
Do it live.
Okay, Bill.
I'll write it and we'll do it live.
Okay. Roger, shut up. God, my goodness. He loses it every time I say we'll do it live. I don't understand. Poor Bill O'Reilly. He needs help. Roger Stone, Donald Trump's longtime advisor, confidant, and criminal accomplice, was sentenced today to 40 months in prison. Judge Amy Berman Jackson first spent over 2 hours recounting all 7 criminal counts on which he was convicted and reiterating that it falls to her to sentence Stone based on the crimes for which he was found guilty by a federal jury in her courtroom. She said that she'll take Stone's age and health into account, but that, quote, record of travel belies the narrative that she blocked him with the gag order of social media use from being able to earn a living. She said the judicial system demands a neutral party decide sentence and not someone who has a, quote, long-standing relationship with Stone or whose political career depended on Stone, saying, quote, the court cannot be influenced by these comments. They were entirely inappropriate. Another one of her random comments, which I haven't actually heard her speak, but reading her words, I'm a fan of hers. She said, the truth still exists. The truth still matters. And then she said, if it goes unpunished, it will not be a victory for one party over another. Everyone loses. For that reason, the dismay and disgust at the defendant's belligerence should transcend party. You go, girl. And now I guess we wait for the pardon to come. Yeah. All right. Let me bring you some of the other news before we get into the debate, because there's other stuff. The purging by Donald Trump of his perceived adversaries continues, with top Pentagon policy official John Rood resigning yesterday at Trump's request. So he didn't really resign. He was fired. I don't understand why why anybody would put in a letter of resignation, make him fire you, right? Because then you get, you know, the benefits, I think. Isn't that how it works? Anyway, Rood initially certified Ukraine's anti-corruption progress to clear the release of U.S. aid last year. And then, he expressed concerns when the aid was frozen. So, Rood said in his resignation letter that he was stepping down at Trump's request. He's the latest of several administration officials connected to the impeachment process. Trump has pushed out since the Senate acquitted him. Shortly after the Senate vote, the White House removed Lieutenant Colonel Alex Vindman, who testified in the impeachment inquiry, from the National Security Council and reassigned him. And then, for good measure, got rid of his twin brother, too. And more, you know how it goes. But in a related story, Trump announced today that he has named one of his cronies, a guy with zero intelligence experience whatsoever, who's never managed a large agency, the guy who is now ambassador to Germany under Trump, Richard Grenell. And Trump named him acting director of national intelligence last night with a ceremony today. This appointment puts another one of Trump's most vocal defenders at the top of an intelligence community that Trump has belittled and battered for the entirety of his term so far. It's insane. Now, the director of national intelligence oversees the nation's 17 intelligence agencies and advises the president and the National Security Council. The guy who's currently in there is Joseph McGuire, a retired admiral, who has been serving as acting director of national intelligence since Dan Coats resigned his post as a Senate-confirmed DNI last summer. The reason Trump makes all these acting appointments is because he knows that these people probably can't get confirmed through Congress. Actually, through the Senate, with this, you know, Republican-led Senate, they probably could. So I don't know what his problem is. He just likes the ability to easily, you know, bring people in and fire them as they go, I guess. Anyway, so Grenell, who will be the first openly gay member of Trump's cabinet, is Senate confirmed as an ambassador. So allegedly, Trump can legally sidestep the Senate to keep Grenell in the role for 210 days. However, I just read something else that said because he's had an acting director in that role for so long, he's got to nominate a permanent person to that post by March 11th. So there's that. And Grenell is, going to do a dual role as DNI and ambassador to Germany. Nothing makes sense anymore. Just nothing makes sense anymore. A lawyer for WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange told a London court yesterday, You ready for this one? That Donald Trump offered to pardon Assange if he would say that Russia had nothing to do with hacking the Democrats' emails during the 2016 elections. Nice, right? Yeah, Assange's attorneys named then Representative Dana Rohrabacher of California as the person who relayed the offer. Rohrabacher, who left office last year, allegedly said that, quote, on instructions from the president, he was offering a pardon or some other way out if Mr. Assange would say Russia had nothing to do with the DNC leaks. This according to the lawyers. Rohrabacher said the offer was his idea, not Trump's, claiming, at no time did I talk to President Trump about Julian Assange. He lied on his personal blog. Let's see. All right. And the other thing, when I recorded What's News this morning, we were waiting on the verdict for Roger Stone. So that happened. One last thing I want to tell you about. We just passed the deadline to register to vote in the primary here in Florida and California, too, by coincidence. Well, in Florida, you might recall that in the last election, we passed Amendment 4, which allegedly cleared the way for felons who had served their term to get their right to vote back. Well, the governor here, Rick DeRacist, or what's his name? It's Ron DeSantis. We call him DeRacist because he is one. Did everything he can to not let the will of the people stand, to deny our voting to restore former felons' voting rights by basically enacting a 21st century poll tax, saying in order to serve your sentence, that means you have to pay off every fine, every judgment, any monetary judgments against you before you can be cleared to vote. A poll tax. Well, yesterday, a judge ruled that Florida cannot, for now, bar felons who serve their time from registering to vote simply because they have failed to pay all fines and fees stemming from their cases. I'm sure they will continue fighting this, but that's where we are now. Chief spokesman for DeSantis said that the state would immediately ask the entire 11th Circuit to reconsider. Ugh. All right. And that's enough of that. Let's get to the debate, shall we? Because last night, the candidates faced off in Nevada. And it was more exciting than any other recent debates. So let me share with you some of what went on. It started, it was Bloomberg's first time on the debate stage. This in advance of Saturday, day after tomorrow, when the Nevada caucuses take place. So six of what I believe are eight remaining Democratic candidates still vying for the nomination were there. Only Tom Steyer and Tulsi Gabbard didn't qualify. I think everyone else is out, but I could be wrong. But anyway, so it was not a good night for former Mayor Bloomberg, to put it lightly. It started with the first question was to Bernie Sanders, and he was asked, why are you a better candidate than Bloomberg to beat Trump? And Bernie touted his record and his beliefs before landing the first hit against Bloomberg over stop and frisk. So Bloomberg was shocked, that he was hit right out of the gate. And the next question was to him, in which he was asked if Bernie could win, and basically Sanders says no way, that Sanders has no chance of beating Trump in the general. What's really interesting is I came across this in my research this morning, shortly after the 2016 elections in which Hillary Clinton won the popular vote but lost the Electoral College. Bloomberg said this.
There was a guy, Bernie Sanders, who would have beaten Donald Trump. The polls show he would have walked away with it.
Isn't it ironic? Don't you think? Just a little too ironic, I really do think. Anyway, but then, excuse me, the first major blow that landed on the billionaire came from a newly energized Elizabeth Warren, who completely eviscerated him on every front. So, again, the first two questions were for Bernie and Bloomberg. And then Elizabeth Warren said, can I say something? And off she went.
I'd like to talk about who we're running against. A billionaire who calls women fat broads and horse-faced lesbians. Ooh. And no, I'm not talking about Donald Trump. I'm talking about Mayor Bloomberg. Democrats are not going to win if we have a nominee who has a history of hiding his tax returns, of harassing women, and of supporting racist policies like redlining and stop and frisk. Look, I'll support whoever the Democratic nominee is, but understand this. Democrats take a huge risk if we just substitute one arrogant billionaire for another. This country has worked for the rich for a long time and left everyone else in the dirt. It is time to have a president who will be on the side of working families and be willing to get out there and fight for them. That is why I am in this race, and that is how I will beat Donald Trump.
Hell yeah. You go, girl. That was like, okay, game on. And then, so if that wasn't bad enough for Bloomberg, Warren then doubled down on it by citing new reports on Bloomberg's extensive use of non-disclosure agreements, NDAs, to stop former employees from disclosing anything.
We have a very few non-disclosure agreements.
How many is that?
Let me finish.
How many is that?
None of them accused me of doing anything.
Oh, sure, we believe you.
Maybe they didn't like the joke I told. And let me just put...
The mayor has to stand on his record. And what we need to know is exactly what's lurking out there. He has gotten some number of women, dozens, who knows, to sign non-disclosure agreements, both for sexual harassment and for gender discrimination in the workplace. So, Mr. Mayor, are you willing to release all of those women from those non-disclosure agreements so we can hear their side of the story?
Come on.
There's agreements between two parties that wanted to keep it quiet, and that's up to them. They signed those agreements, and we'll live with it.
So wait, when you say it is up to, I just want to be clear. Some is how many? And when you say they signed them and they wanted them, if they wish now to speak out and tell their side of the story about what it is they allege, that's now okay with you? You're releasing them on television tonight?
Senator, no.
Is that right?
And he said
Senator,
no.
Tonight?
Senator, the company and somebody else, in this case, a man or a woman, or could be more than that.
Could be more than that.
They decided when they made an agreement that they wanted to keep it quiet for everybody's...
No. Man or woman, or could be more than that, Michael Bloomberg said. I guess that was his attempt to fend off another video that surfaced yesterday of him calling transgender women it or a guy in a dress. So that's man, woman, or something more. I guess that's his way of being woke. Anyway, sorry, back to the clip.
Interest. They signed the agreements, and that's what we're going to live with.
I'm sorry. No, the question is, are the women bound by being muzzled by you? And you could release them from that immediately. Because understand, this is not just a question of the mayor's character. This is also a question about electability. We are not going to beat Donald Trump with a man who has who knows how many non-disclosure agreements and the drip, drip, drip of stories of women saying they have been harassed and discriminated against.
Hell fucking yeah. You go, Elizabeth Warren. This is the Elizabeth Warren I've been clamoring to see for the last few months, and she finally emerged last night. Now, newly minted frontrunner Bernie Sanders also, as I said earlier, turned in another strong performance, drawing distinct parallels between himself and Bloomberg, especially after the former mayor used a Trumpian smear and called Bernie a communist. Exactly what you'd expect from Michael Bloomberg. Take it away, Bernie.
Let's talk about democratic socialism, not communism, Mr. Bloomberg. That's a cheap shot.
Yes,
it is. Let's talk about democratic. Let's talk about what goes on in countries like Denmark, where Pete correctly pointed out they have a much higher quality of life in many respects than we do. What are we talking about? We are living in many ways in a socialist society right now. Problem is, as Dr. Martin Luther King reminded us, we have socialism for the very rich, rugged individualism for the poor.
Wait a second.
When Donald Trump gets $800 million in tax breaks and subsidies to build luxury condominiums, that's socialism for the rich. We have to subsidize Walmart's workers who are on Medicaid and food stamps because the wealthiest family in America pays starvation wages.
Yep.
That's socialism for the rich. I believe in democratic socialism working people, not billionaires. Health care for all.
Boom.
Educational opportunity for all.
Senator, thank you. Mayor
creating
Bloomberg,
a government
would you like to,
that works
the
for
question
all,
was about
not
socialism.
Just
Bloomberg.
What a wonderful country we have. Known socialist in the country happens to be a millionaire with three houses. What
oh, God.
Here?
Michael Bloomberg dares call Bernie Sanders out for being a millionaire because later in life, Bernie wrote a couple of best-selling books and made some money for the first time in his life. And Michael Bloomberg dares to call him out for that? What a fucking hypocrite. What a little, petty, little, ugly man. Just saying. You know, as for the others, there is no love lost between Amy Klobuchar and Pete Buttigieg. Things got downright nasty between them. And Joe Biden was there with a lot of word salad. Like, I don't know if you can figure out what this means.
Dollars to provide help.
Wait, here we go.
Now, I'm the guy that put together $750 million to provide help for those Latin American countries that are the reason why people are leaving.
What?
Because there's nothing for them to stay for. I've spent hours and hours and hours. And so you want to talk about experience in Washington. It's good to know with whom you're talking. It's good to know what they think. It's good to know what you think. And it's good to be able to have a relationship. That's what it's about.
All right, Joe. Call Joe 30.
Go to Joe
30330.
Joe
30330.
Go to Joe 30330.
All right, enough of that. One last thing I want to play for you before we get Howie on the line. And I've got more clips, and who knows, maybe we'll play more during our talk with Howie Klein. The way it ended, Chuck Todd, obviously, look, Bernie Sanders, if things keep going on this trajectory, Bernie Sanders will get to Wisconsin for the convention with a plurality of delegates, meaning he will have more than anybody else, but he won't have, I think, what the number is, 1,900 needed to cement the nomination. And so the question was, if nobody gets a majority, gets 51%, should the person who arrives with the plurality of the delegates at the convention in the first round be given the nomination, or do you then throw everything out for the second round with the 500 superdelegates and let the party elders, basically, decide who the nominee will be? And, wow, and here's what they all said.
We are less than 2 weeks away from a national primary, and I want to ask all of you this simple question. There's a very good chance none of you are going to have enough delegates to the Democratic National Convention that clinched this nomination. Okay? If that happens, I want all of your opinions on this. Should the person with the most delegates at the end of this primary season be the nominee?
Yes.
Even if they are short of a majority?
Yes.
Senator Sanders, I'm going to let you go last here because I know your view on this.
Of course you do.
So instead, I will start with you, Mayor Bloomberg.
Whatever the rules of the Democratic Party are, they should be followed. And if they have a process, which I believe they do,
I'm trying to do
so
this
that everybody
to
else,
fast.
Everybody can
So you want the convention to work its will?
Yes.
Senator Warren.
But a convention working its will means that people have the delegates that are pledged to them, and they keep those delegates until
you come
to the convention.
No?
All
okay.
of the people.
All righty. Vice President Biden?
Play by the rules.
Yes or no? Leading
Play
person with the delegates,
rules.
Should they be the nominee or not?
No. Let the process work its way out.
Mayor Buttigieg?
Yeah.
Not necessarily. Not till there's
Senator Klobuchar?
Let the process work.
Senator Sanders?
Well, the process includes 500 superdelegates on the second ballot.
Hello.
So I think that the will of the people should prevail. Yes.
So do I. And I find it disingenuous. I heard Andrea Mitchell today say five of the candidates said they would follow the party's rules, and one of them said he wouldn't. Fuck you, Andrea Mitchell. Oh, you know what? I got a little song for you. And just one more thing on the same subject. David Plouffe, who was the architect of Barack Obama's 2008 win, really surprised me, because I've heard him say make this point a couple of times over the last couple of days. Here he is yesterday, I believe, with Chris Hayes, or the day before with Chris Hayes, talking about just this eventuality. If Bernie Sanders gets to the convention with a plurality of delegates, though no clear majority, that the party cannot take the nomination away from him.
Yeah, it's possible that we're going to have somebody who doesn't have a majority to pledge delegates. I believe that whoever is the plurality leader, unless literally it's a delegate or two,
right,
but even if somebody has a 50 to 100, we're really going to take the nomination away from them in Milwaukee? I'm not sure the party recovers that for decades.
I completely agree with that, right? That, like, if you go into the convention with a plurality lead, the idea of that convention being like, sorry, like,
thanks for playing.
Yeah, thanks for playing.
And the party bosses have decided the person who got the most delegates is now not going to be the nominee. Like, parties don't recover from that for a long time.
Parties don't recover from that for a long time. The party would be well served to listen to David Plouffe. Just saying. All right. It is Thursday. It's Howie Klein's birthday. So we got to mix up an extra special batch of those Dirty Debbies while I get Howie on the line.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes and they're all fresh.
You're going to love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and French fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 orange juice. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acetic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Ah, hello, and happy birthday, Howie Klein.
Thank you, Nicole. Having a happy birthday.
You are? Good. I hope you... Did you get a good warm-up for your birthday watching the debate last night?
I liked the debate. I actually found it relatively enjoyable. Normally, I can't stand these debates.
Yeah.
But this one had that great piñata on the stage, former mayor of New York City. Yeah. And I enjoyed the way people were taking shots at him. It was fun.
Yeah, I agree. And I was really thrilled to see Elizabeth Warren with some fire in her belly. She came ready to play, and she did not disappoint.
Right from the beginning, she was there. You know, I've always thought of her throughout this cycle, except for one little time period where she disappointed me.
Yeah.
But I've always thought of her as Bernie's wingman.
Yeah, me too.
And this time, you know, right in the beginning, Bloomberg attacked Bernie.
Yep.
And I didn't think that he defended himself well enough. And she just came flying in out of the blue, just out of nowhere, and just like went after Bloomberg with so much vitriol. It was beautiful.
No, it really was. And I'm like cheering her on. So you go, girl. Renewed.
Yep.
I'm thrilled. And she had a really big night, a fundraising night. I think like $2.7 million her campaign took in. I hope it continues. I hope this will propel her through Super Tuesday to give her back a firmer stance. I think she's, you know, she was still in like third place. But again, the corporate media just erased her totally. NBC released this poll the other day that was very good for Bernie Sanders, but then and I think Warren was like third. But then they did head-to-head matchups like Sanders Bloomberg, Sanders Biden. The only one they didn't do a head-to-head on was Elizabeth Warren, and the whole internet went, "What the fuck? Where's Elizabeth Warren? You can't erase her." But they tried.
They did, which is odd. But you know, she has been trending down in the polls nationally and in states. She's not out of the running. But remember, if you don't get 15% of the votes statewide in the primaries, you don't get any delegates. Right. And that's sort of she's usually above 10%, but not usually above 15%. So she's looking like someone who's not going to get any. I mean, I think what her performance last night is going to change that.
I think so, too.
I feel that she's going to do really well in Nevada on Saturday. We'll see. I could be wrong. But, you know, remember, Bloomberg's whole strategy was to, make it an election of him against Bernie.
Right.
And so he's been eager to drive everybody out. And what he does is he just spends millions and millions and millions of dollars, now hundreds of millions of dollars on advertising, and especially in states where no one else is advertising. Like, he's advertising in Alabama, in Arkansas, in Tennessee, and big time, I mean, millions of dollars, and no one else is spending a nickel. They're not spending any money in those states. Everyone is, you know, who's spending anything is spending in California and in Texas, where there are big holes, in Massachusetts. But Arkansas? No one, except Bloomberg. So he's looking to sweep those states as much as he can. And he probably will. I mean, the only other candidate that's polling, generally speaking, the only candidates who are polling where they can get any delegates at all are Bernie and, in many cases, Biden. And then there's Bloomberg. Now, I think Bloomberg was hurt so badly last night that it could be very, very, very damaging to his strategy. And, you know, he was so bad. And this, you probably know this already, if you didn't even tell your audience yet, but the viewership was the highest of any Democratic debate.
No, I didn't even know that. That's good to know.
Viewership. Wow. So, you know, so it hurt. I think it's going to hurt Biden very, very, very much. We'll see.
Biden or Bloomberg or both.
But I don't mean Biden. I'm sorry.
Bloomberg.
Biden didn't do well, but he didn't do badly.
Right. He was
Bloomberg.
Right.
It's hard to remember with all these
the bees.
B-boys.
A lot of bees.
But what I tend to do is give them all nicknames.
Okay.
So, you know, with Pete Buttigieg, I refer to him as Mayo Pete.
Right.
And Biden is always Status Quo Joe. And when it comes to Bloomberg, I don't have a good nickname for him, you know, but Trump does, which is Mini Mike.
Right.
And when I use it, I get complaints all the time. People, you know, say you're validating Trump by using that.
Yeah.
So I try not to, but it's such a good name for him.
I know, it does work, but I have the same. I tend to shy away from that just because I don't want to be using Trump's demeaning. Look, it's one thing for you or I to use these silly nicknames. For the president of the United States to do it is sickening. I'm sorry.
I find it great.
Well, because it's Mike Bloomberg.
It just shows again and again what a clown he is. and you know, just who doesn't take government seriously and doesn't, you know, he's just in his own like crazy lunatic world, and I love it.
Yeah.
But I would hope that other people would see that too, and I think some do, but you know, not his supporters. They just, you know, to them it's all a big game anyway.
Yeah, which is truly frightening. So it was a good night. I felt energized by it. I thought Bernie did great. I thought Elizabeth Warren did great. And the others, as I said, were there. Joe Biden was just full of word salad. I mean, sometimes you got just like, where is he going with this? And nowhere. He just sort of trails off.
Except for a couple of, you know, planned punches that were sort of he memorized. Other than that, he just, you know, was another one like Bloomberg was hoping that he'd never be called on. I mean, you look at those, you know, everybody else like wants to talk all the time. And Bloomberg and Biden looked to me like they were just hoping that no one would notice them.
They're like the kids in the classroom who won't
get away
meet
without
the
speaking much.
Right.
Bloomberg especially. I mean, he really doesn't. He hasn't done one interview, if you've noticed, since this whole thing began, since the campaign began. Nothing. He might, you know, talk with someone for a minute or two, but he hasn't sat for a single radio, television, or print interview since he jumped in the campaign. What does that say? He, like I said, his strategy is just swamp everybody with ads, just ad after ad after ad, yeah. Million. And on top of the, I think it's now $300 million in broadcast advertising, so TV and radio, but on top of that, he's spending $1 million a day on Facebook.
Oh, my God. And paying staffers.
Which I find, like, completely disgusting.
And paying staffers, in many cases, 200% of the standard going rate for campaign workers. So he's raiding other campaigns to get people who may not like him, but he's offering them ridiculous amounts of money. And in some cases, they just can't turn it down. I mean, you got.
I have several people who report to me from inside his campaign, and they're obviously people who like detest him.
Yes.
One of them, by the way, is someone who's worked for him for a very, very long time, not just in the presidential race, but who just works for him and just hates him anyway. And they give me great information. I mean, a lot of people sometimes say, "Well, where do you get this stuff on Bloomberg?" And it's right from his own people who dislike him and hope he loses.
Wow. You know, now last week when you came on, that morning, my congressman, Ted Deutch, announced that he was endorsing Bloomberg. And I was disgusted and I bitched about it to you. And he's got a handful of members of Congress who've endorsed him.
A dozen.
Okay. So, but
this morning.
After the debate, three more said, based on his performance last night, they were going to step up.
Now, can you imagine that? Now you know who Chuy Garcia is from Chicago, right?
Yes, he's great. Now, I saw you tweeted. So I saw Chuy Garcia endorse Bernie today, and then I saw you tweet something, Hallie Klein.
Pelosi, what I heard, the word that came to me was threatened him.
Whoa.
Not do it like that. The person who first told me about Chuy and the endorsement, which was a couple of months ago, said he wanted to endorse Bernie. He was going to appear with Bernie at a live event in Chicago. And the morning of the event, Pelosi said, "No, you're not doing it." And she now it doesn't sound like her that doesn't sound like her to me. She doesn't usually threaten people. She has other ways of getting people to do what she wants, and threatening isn't her thing. But the person who told me this, who's as good as you can get, I mean, without it coming from the candidate's mouth,
right. It's
as good as you can get, said she threatened him and he didn't endorse Bernie. But he did it this morning after the debate. So he saw the debate, saw Bernie, is going to be the winner, I'm assuming, and threw it in his support. The same debate was watched by, for example, two of the worst members of Congress.
Uh-huh.
Certainly the, Gottheimer, other than the freshman, he's got the worst voting record of any Democrat. This guy, Josh Gottheimer, a blue dog from New Jersey, just money hungry. That's all he does. Everyone tells me he doesn't bother anybody. All he does is sit on the phone and collect money.
Wow.
Apparently wanting to run for the Senate someday. If Menendez goes to prison or Booker becomes VP or something, he wants to be senator. So he's building up this gigantic war chest, millions and millions of dollars. And he, certainly would be the kind of guy who would make a deal with Bloomberg for financial support, which Bloomberg is doing with people. Bloomberg is buying endorsements, which is shocking. And people say to me, "How do you know?" So I do. I mean, first of all, it's his technique. I mean, it's what he's been doing his whole life. But, I managed to get some information. For example, in Chicago again, he there's one congressman there, Bobby Rush,
right. Who's
got this scammy church. And he gets donations to the church. So it doesn't look like the donations are to him. It's going to a church and it's tax deductible and all this kind of, but he lives off the church. That's how, I mean, he's been... he's been brought up on ethics charges for this. He takes money from this scam church that he runs. He owns it and runs it.
Oh,
and it's all about him. So, Bloomberg gave them money. And, he has a defense. He can say, "Well, I'm just trying to help the poor folks in Chicago." And the reality is it's a way of funneling bribes to Bobby Rush.
which many other people have done as well.
Amazing. It's amazing that these people keep going. So 3 more after his great performance last night. You mentioned Josh Gottheimer of New Jersey.
Gottheimer of New Jersey, the Blue Dog. Then right. One of the top New Dems, I think he's the New Dem whip, Pete Aguilar, also, you know, corrupt. When someone who knows him well called me this morning to laugh about it and said, Bloomberg probably sent him a shipment of cocaine.
Ooh, wow.
That'll give you an idea about what this guy is like.
Nice.
I used to run a picture of him, like, completely stoned out of his gourd on coke with a drink in his hand, like, screaming at somebody. A frightening-looking picture. But I haven't done it in a year or two. But Aguilar is terrible. You know, another one, you know, corruption coming out of every pore of his body. And he also wind up selling himself to Bloomberg.
Yeah.
And then the third one, I don't know the specifics of it. She is retiring.
Nita
Lowey.
Right.
I think that's it. That was who
yep.
it was, right?
Yep. Nita Lowey. Yeah.
Yeah. So she's a New Yorker who's you know what? I don't have the info in front of me, but I believe she's the head of. She's the head of one of the big committees, and she's a very loyal and devoted Pelosi ally. But anyway, she's retiring, so she's never going to have to face the voters anyway. I wouldn't be in the slightest bit surprised if she didn't have a financial deal worked out with Bloomberg. There's no reason why she should be supporting him. But, you know, the two, you know, really right-wing of the Democratic Party represent the right wing of the Democratic Party. One, the New Dem, the other, the Blue Dog. Those two are, you know, they're all about money. That's their whole thing. Just it's just money. And, you know, it's just these kind of people are ruining the whole basis of democracy. It's just, you know, Bloomberg is a disaster for the Democratic Party, a disaster for democracy in general.
Yeah.
He should, you know, nobody should vote for him. No matter what you feel, there's no reason to vote for this guy. None whatsoever. Do you know anyone that has a reason
no.
to vote for Bloomberg?
None
and
at all.
Here he is rising in the polls.
Right. Well, because he's blanketing the airwaves. Bernie Sanders has spent a lot of money compared to the rest of the field, and Bloomberg has outspent him by more than 10 to 1. I mean, it's like 20 to 1. It's ridiculous.
Bloomberg has spent more than all of the entire field combined.
Yeah, and then some. Like, more than them all combined and doubled. I mean, it's that drastic of a difference. And then he argues when someone says he's trying to buy the election. Of course he is. He bought his way onto the debate stage, just the way he bought
Thank
his way.
Thank God he did.
I know, right?
Yeah, I mean,
exactly.
We talked about that a little last
yeah,
week, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
That, you know, people were saying he shouldn't be on the debate stage. And there were some people saying, well, maybe he should be on the
yeah.
debate stage because he's going to reveal himself. And that worked out well.
Right. Yep. Yep.
I mean, I've been getting a lot of stuff from Bloomberg. his campaign is buying into every organization that has a big list. So, you know, I've been getting, like, robocalls, it was a live person call that I got where people wanted to know what I thought of Bloomberg. And those calls are very, very expensive. I mean,
robocall
is not expensive.
Right.
But the calls with live operators,
sure.
very expensive.
Right.
And you could tell that this was a, you know, very sophisticated person doing this. It wasn't just, you know, some imbecile from a call center. And, you know, at the end, I wound up, like, you know, asking him how he could face himself in the morning doing work like this. And we wound up having an argument. That was kind of fun. But today, the New Republic, you know, with tons of apologies, sent out a Biden...
Bloomberg.
I'm sorry, a Bloomberg... kind of like a questionnaire.
Right.
Just about
ad.
Bloomberg.
Right.
So Bloomberg went and bought off
yep.
this organization called Stop Republicans. So instead of Bloomberg putting out this Bloomberg mailer, it was Stop Republicans
right.
paying the New Republic to do it. And the New Republic, you know, it was like, you know, they had an apology at the top, an apology at the bottom of the email.
Really?
You know, saying this
doesn't reflect us. It doesn't reflect our editorial stand. Ooh. This is just an ad.
Wow.
And they're really in a big black box with white letters or red letters or something. It's kind of funny. And it was just, you know, just every single question was about Bloomberg. You know, well, who would you vote for if it was between Bloomberg and Mayo Pete? Who would you vote for if it was between Bloomberg and Biden? And you know, how do you feel about Bloomberg? And, you know, what would you vote for Bloomberg if he were the nominee against Trump? Would you vote, who should be Bloomberg's vice president? I mean, it was just so obviously, I mean, it was just about Bloomberg. They didn't mention it, really anyone else in the questions. And every question was about Bloomberg.
Oh,
and this
God.
Is what they're doing. They're literally buying into every group who will sell out to them. I mean, God forbid if you know, some of the big progressive groups do. Like, I mean, I don't think they will, but I'm sure that he will try to buy into Move On and DFA the rest of them. I can't imagine that any of the real ones will sell out.
DFA won't. I know.
But
that.
You know, the ones like, you know, the ones like Emily Liz won't, because she's not a woman.
Right, exactly.
But the ones like that, you know, like even respected groups. Like Sierra Club, for example, I'm waiting for them to do exactly the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
He just wants everybody's mailing list and to use for communication. He's willing to pay a lot more than the going rate to do it.
Yeah, and he's got an endless supply. Again, the latest thing I saw today, they had to do a financial, and he's up over $400 million already spent, and they haven't even gotten to Super Tuesday yet. And so he's been saying he's prepared to spend upwards of $2 billion of his own money, and he won't even miss it. That's like, you know, to you and me, $5, which is
frightening. That's the kind of money that he makes every few months in interest and dividends from what he's got. Roland came up with a really interesting thing today. He said, why doesn't Bloomberg just offer everyone who's in the race $1 billion? Each one of them would be then a billionaire, and to get them to go out of the race. Now, I that's probably a good idea from Bloomberg's stance. It's $6 billion.
Yep.
But what would he care?
He doesn't care.
And
right.
Probably he could offer Mayo Pete half that, so it wouldn't be $5.5 billion. But I tweeted it, and someone asked me if I thought that Bernie would accept it, and I there's no way to really know, but I said, you know, Bernie and I grew up in the same neighborhood, from the same background, we went to the same schools,
mm-hmm.
We turned out, you know, believing in the same kind of stuff, and I know I wouldn't take the money. I wouldn't even hesitate. In other words, if someone came up to me and said, if Bloomberg came up to me and said, I will give you $1 billion for you to support me.
Right.
I know I would say no. It's just money.
Yeah.
The answer is no.
I'd
How about
it
$10 billion?
Right now.
No.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah.
No. Not even $10 billion. And I somehow think that Bernie is the same way. You know, Bernie's older than I am.
Mm-hmm.
We're both old.
And, you're older now.
$10 billion, what are you going to do with it?
Right. Yeah, you can't take it with you. The other hand, I would take it right now because we're hurting. But, you know, I get where you're coming from. No way in hell would Bernie take it, although I don't know that I could say the same for everybody else on that stage. The fact that we're even talking about this is really depressing.
You know, give him like give him half, and he'd be off that stage in 2 seconds flat. He'd do it in public.
Speaking of Mayo Pete, by the way, there's a thing that's going around. It's the Pete plaudit. I'm screwing it up now. You know, he speaks in platitudes. So it's the Pete platitude generator. Have you seen this?
Oh, you got to send me that. I'd love to see it.
It's mayopete.io. mayopete.io, and it's the Pete Buttigieg platitude generator, and it's hysterical.
he's like so horrid. I mean, I did this poll right after the debate was over. Who did you hate the most?
Yeah, I saw it.
Thinking it was, you know, thinking and wanting it to be Bloomberg, and it was.
Yeah.
But it started off with Bloomberg at like around 65%, but then it's still going. The poll's still going. But the last time I looked, it was Mayo Pete was sort of, he'll never catch up with him, but it was more like Bloomberg 55%, Mayo Pete 35%.
Right.
So a lot of people just couldn't stand him.
What did you think about Amy Klobuchar's performance last night?
I thought she was horrible. I thought she did better in the last debate. This time, she comes across, I know it's a horrible thing to say, especially about a fellow woman, but she comes across as very shrill. And to me, she sounded like she was on the verge of tears when she was fighting with Pete.
Well, I think she knew that she was ruining her whole demeanor that she's been trying to create, but she couldn't control herself. There was so much hatred towards him.
Yes.
I think her emotional reaction to what she was saying. She's not a moron, and she realized that she's killing herself, but couldn't control herself just because she hated him so much.
Yeah.
The New York Times actually said that they thought at moments that the two of them might get into a fist fight.
Yeah, it looked like they were coming to that. I mean, he was so dismissive of her. And all I can think is, do you remember at the beginning of the race, there was a mayor from a town of Miramar, Florida. His name was Wayne Messam, who was also a declared candidate. Miramar is just a couple of towns down the road from me. Miramar, Florida has a larger population than South Bend, Indiana. This is how absurd it is that Mayo Pete is where he is, because there's no there.
That's right. Well, the only there that's there is his PR people. He's, you talk about a platitude generator. He's got something really like that in real life, which is he's got the best PR working for him of anybody. I mean, now that Bloomberg is in, I'm sure Bloomberg will buy whoever he needs to buy. But until now, He was just using the very, very best available person. I'm trying to remember her name, but I can't remember it. Mm. But she's great. She's amazing.
Uh-huh.
And she nearly got him elected DNC chair. She's been with him a long time, and she's one of the major impetuses of his political career.
Right. Yes. Well, and look, so I just opened Mayo.
Liz, her name is Liz.
Oh, Liz,
but
Liz
it's spelled
Smith. L-I-S Smith. And you know who what's his name? Former governor of New York, the guy who went after all the record companies because of payola. Elliot Spitzer.
Spitzer.
Yes. So they're a couple, apparently. I don't know if they still are, but they were. She's supposed to be this great political operative. Why she's backing Pete Buttigieg, I don't know. Maybe the money's right.
Well, she created Pete Buttigieg more than any other person other than Pete himself.
Right.
But she's been with him long before there was any talk about him running for president and in any serious way. And she's been running the whole operation from the point of view of political public relations.
Right.
So she's an amazing publicist who knows how to do the things that candidates don't know how to do. I mean, I run into this every day. I don't want to talk about any candidates per se, but sometimes I'll help a candidate get an endorsement.
Uh-huh.
And most of them and their staffs don't know what to do with it. They literally don't know how to use it.
Mm.
So in other words, what do you like? You get an endorsement from someone really good. What do you do then? And they don't know.
Right.
I mean, it seems odd, but do you put it on your website?
You blast it out on
Facebook,
right. Yeah.
And they don't know how to make it into something valuable. How to turn it into a press release that your local newspapers are going to do something with. And they don't understand. I try to explain, these media people are lazy and they're desperate for content. And if you hand them something that looks like really good and really plausible, that saves a couple of hours in their lives where they don't have to work and they'll use it. And someone like Liz Smith understands that and knows how to do that kind of stuff. Whereas normally, politicians, even elected ones, don't understand that.
Right. No, that's right. It takes a lot to get this all together. I think that's one of the reasons that Bernie's doing so well, aside from what he stands for, that he has an organization that was built, 4 years ago that has, been growing this whole time. And he's got, in many cases, not all, but in many instances, the right people in the right places doing the work. So anyway, there was that.
I hope so.
Howie Klein, I hope you have a wonderful rest of your birthday and a great year to come. Let's hope we all have a great year to come. We'll work on that one. Howie Klein, find him at downwithtyranny.com, of course, and the Blue America Pack. Thank you, Howie. I'll talk to you next
week. Thank you, and I hope Bloomberg offers you $1 billion.
I do, too. Hey, you know what? Well, I even tweeted to him last night because he kept saying, I've got all this money. I'm giving it all away. And so I wrote to him. I tweeted to him. I said, if you're really giving all the money away, share some with me. I could use it right about now. He offered.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, thanks so much. Howie Klein, I'll talk to you next week, and happy birthday again.
Thanks, Nicole.
Bye-bye. All right, and I'll see you tomorrow. Keep the faith, baby. Bye.